So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 3, chapter 16, Jai and Vijay, cursed by the sages, text number 8. Translation and for report, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I do not enjoy the oblations offered by the sacrificers and the sacrificial fires, which is one of my own mouths, with the same relish as I do the delicacies overflowing with ghee, which are offered to the mouths of the Brahmins who have dedicated to me the results of their activities and who are ever satisfied with my prasad. The devotee of the Lord, or the Vaishnava, does not take anything without offering it to the Lord. Since a Vaishnava dedicates all the results of his activities to the Lord, he does not taste anything eatable which is not first offered to him. The Lord also relishes giving to the Vaishnava's mouth all eatables offered to him. It is clear from this verse that the Lord eats through the sacrificial fire and the Brahmana's mouth. So many articles, grains, ghee, etc., are offered in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord. The Lord accepts sacrificial offerings from the Brahmanas and devotees, and elsewhere it is stated that whatever is given for the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas to eat is also accepted by the Lord. But here it is said that he accepts offering to the mouths of Brahmins and Vaishnavas with even greater relish. The best example of this is found in the life of Adwaita Prabhu in his dealings with Haridas Thakur. Even though Haridas was born of a Mohammedan family, Adwaita Prabhu offered him the first dish of prasad after the performance of the sacred fire ceremony. Haridas Thakur informed him that he was born of a Mohammedan family and asked why Adwaita Prabhu was offering the first dish to a Mohammedan instead of to an elevated Brahmin. Out of his humbleness, Haridas condemned himself a Mohammedan, but Adwaita Prabhu, being an experienced devotee, accepted him as a real Brahmin. Adwaita Prabhu asserted that by offering the first dish to Haridas Thakur, he was getting the result of feeding 100,000 Brahmins. Conclusion is that if one can feed a Brahmana or Vaishnava, it is better than performing hundreds of thousands of sacrifices. In this age, therefore, it is recommended that Haridnama, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and pleasing the Vaishnava, are the only means to elevate oneself to spiritual life. Vandeha. Shri Guru, Shri Jatapana Kamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine. So, Srila Prabhupada concludes this very interesting purport, reminding us that there are two things that are the actually only means of elevating ourselves to spiritual life. Two things. You have to please the Vaishnava, and you have to chant the holy name of the Lord. Just see how much Prabhupada is emphasizing pleasing the devotee. Chanting the holy name and pleasing the devotee. One may say, well, why is it so important to please the devotee? Can't I just please Krishna? I mean, sometimes the devotees are not pleased with me. I screw up, I do something wrong, they're very displeased with me. Wouldn't it be just easier just to try to please Krishna and not worry about pleasing the devotees? What does Krishna say? Yame bhakta jana parata, name bhaktishtate jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, teme bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he is not my devotee, but the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, you want to please Krishna? You better think about pleasing the Vaishnava. Otherwise, your so-called pleasing the Krishna will be a joke. You want to please Krishna? You must please his devotee. We were taught when I joined ISKCON, we had to please Prabhupada. You see, the whole point, the whole thing, the whole basis of Krishna consciousness was pleasing Srila Prabhupada. That's how I was trained up as a new member of ISKCON. And I was thinking, well, how do I know if I'm pleasing Prabhupada? He's so far away, he's in LA or Los Angeles, Australia or India or somewhere. He's not here in Austin. How am I going to please him? But then we read in the Gavastakam prayers, we sing every morning, Chaturvirahashi Bhagavat Prasadam. When the spiritual master sees the devotees are taking Bhagavat Prasadam, he becomes satisfied. Wow, I think I can handle this movement. All I have to do is take Prasadam, and Prabhupada is pleased, and I can, that way my spiritual life is there, just by taking Prasadam, you see. So it's not really that difficult to please the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is not some cranky old man who's irritable and you can't ever please him. Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. Even if you're not expert, if you're simply sincere, you may be a bumbling idiot, you see. But if you're sincere, in spite of your bumbling idiocy, the spiritual master will be pleased. So somehow or other we have to please the Vaishnava, especially the spiritual master, but all the Vaishnavas also. We sing also in that prayer by Narottam, Anandi Balohari Bhaja Vrindavan, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majjaye Aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna and worship that holy place known as Shri Vrindavan Dham. And always absorb your mind in meditating on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So it's not only the Guru we want to please, you see. Not only the Guru we want to worship. We want to worship and please all the devotees. And the more we can please the devotees, the more the spiritual master will be pleased with us. And the more the spiritual master is pleased with us, the more Krishna will be pleased with us. So, some outsider may say, what's this all about pleasing Krishna, pleasing Guru, pleasing Vaishnavas? I want to be pleased. Why should I think about pleasing others? You see? But actually, that's how you please, become pleased, I mean to say. The more you give pleasure, the more you get pleasure. That's a fact. And it's like the more the hand gives food to the belly, the hand gets the nutrition it needs. You can't directly get the food, the nutritional value by squeezing the food in your fingers. You get the nutritional value by feeding the food to the belly. So, when you give your loving service to Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas, you see, then you're feeding the belly. Then you, the individual, actually become satisfied. So we have to master this art. You see, our tendency is to put ourselves in the center. We're a very self-centered culture. With Kali Yuga, much of culture is completely self-centered. You see. They have a saying, you've got to take care of number one. Well, you're number one. That's how we're taught. Yes, I am number one. You see. But that's not true. Krishna, our God, is number one. We are subordinate to Him. As long as you try to keep yourself in the center, you're going to have difficulty. You'll have anxiety. You'll have confusion, bewilderment. So many things will be there. As long as you try to keep yourself in the center, you will be bewildered. Guaranteed. So we have to give up the self-centered consciousness and take up the opposite number, Krishna consciousness, Ishavasham, the God-centered conception. That we must embrace. Whatever anxiety, I can guarantee you this, whatever difficulties or anxieties you're having in your life right now are simply due to the fact that you're not fully putting Krishna in the center. You're still trying to keep yourself in the center. That's the cause of every anxiety. Absolutely every anxiety is based on the stupid thing of trying to put yourself in the center. So you got to kick it out. That tendency to put ourselves, we must kick it out with boot. It's Kali's influence. We have to kick out the influence of the age of Kali. You see? On the one hand, it's the Kali Yuga. The other hand, it's the Chaitanya era. It began 500 years ago. It's a 10,000 year period when the tidal wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy is going to inundate the whole world, drowning everyone. Sajjana durjana pangu jada anagana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami, a tidal wave of love of God. It is inundating the whole world. It will drown absolutely everybody, the pious, the impious, the lame, the indolent, the blind. Everyone will become drowned in this tidal wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So, get with it. We got to get with the Chaitanya era, you see. And give up our Kali Yuga tendencies. Then they do nothing but drag us down, cause us unnecessary disturbance. Kick out the influence of Kali. Fully get into the mood of the Chaitanya era, the Sankirtan revolution, which is revolutionizing our hearts and revolutionizing the whole world. At least those who are intelligent, you see, they will be revolutionized. The fools and rascals, they may never take, or they may take, the invention. It's predicted they will all take eventually. But we will see during our lifetimes, we don't know. Prabhupada one time said, if you keep the teachings as they are, you will take over the whole world. He also said it's not possible to take over the whole world. Another time. Or he said it is possible. Let's see what we can do. So, well, you try for that. Just like it's stated, a Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver all the suffering living beings of this material world back to home, back to Godhead. Our goal is we want to take over the whole world. Prabhupada said the mission of this movement is to save the whole world from irreligion. So that is our meditation. We want to save every single living entity. We want to completely revolutionize this planet. That's our meditation, our goal. Will we achieve it? Prabhupada said it's not possible. But he also said it is possible. So try for it and depend on Krishna. So how much will it become manifested? It will become manifested to the degree that we can actually conquer our own anarthas, the lust, the anger, the greed, madness, illusion, envy, fear, these anarthas which are polluting our hearts, you see. Krishna states in Gita, yad yadacharite shrestha sattatayavitaro jana siyat pramanam kurute lokastadana varitate. Whatever standard the great man sets, the whole world will pursue. Lokastad anivartate, the whole world will follow the example of an ideal acharya, stated by Krishna. So there is potential for making a huge impact on the world. Prabhupada said, even if we can just make 1% Krishna conscious, the whole world will be changed. He said, even less than 1%. So there's 7.3 billion people on this planet right now, you see. 1% would be 73 million, less than 1% would be 50 million. So we can have 50 million people who are strictly following Prabhupada on this planet, the whole world will be changed, guaranteed. Prabhupada guarantees it. So how can we pull it off? Well, if there's 50,000 initiated disciples, you see, and each disciple can make 10 disciples who make 10 disciples who make 10 disciples. You got there, you got it. You got your 50 million right there. 50,000 disciples each make 10 devotees who can make 10 devotees who can make 10 devotees. And the whole world history will be turned around. So therefore, every devotee must now embrace this principle, the power of 10. He says, I must make 10 devotees. I got to think, where can I make 10 people devotees? You see, distributing books, cultivating people, whatever you can do. Every devotee should try to make 10 devotees. Who can make 10 devotees? Who can make 10 devotees? If the whole movement can focus on this and, you know, pray for the mercy to be able to do this, I guarantee you world history will be changed. World history will be transformed. Because Prabhupada said that even less than 1%. It's not that everybody, you see, is going to be an expert on spiritual life. It's like how many mechanical engineers are there? Or how many auto mechanics are there? Or how many doctors are there, you see? It's not that everybody has to be a medical man for the society to be healthy. You just have to have enough doctors to go around to take care of the people, that's all. So it's not that everybody has to be a self-realized Brahman, you see, for the world to become spiritually healthy. It's like there has to be enough doctors to take care of the people. If we have enough Brahmins scattered around, self-realized Brahmins, Vaishnavas, scattered around the world who are training up the people in their neighborhood to be Krishna conscious, the world will be changed. Prabhupada said, if you're living in a small neighborhood, become the guru of that neighborhood. He told a bunch of Hindu gentlemen who were attending the temple, not his disciples, some Hindu gentlemen, he said, become the guru. This is in Hyderabad. He said, become the guru of your neighborhood. You see. So if every devotee can become, you know, absorbed in Krishna consciousness and preach it in a very dynamic, attractive, compassionate way, we're going to see world history completely transformed. And Lord knows it really needs it. Now it's getting so bad. You can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. It's considered politically incorrect. You see? We don't want to offend somebody. Saying Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. How you can say the name of Christ? You see? Please, you must say season greetings or happy holidays. But don't you dare say Merry Christmas. You see? We don't want to offend anyone. Maybe God's offended. You ever thought about that? Leaving out the name of his beloved son from his appearance day? Maybe you ever think that God might be offended, you see, when you leave the name of Christ out? You see? See, in Krishna consciousness, we appreciate all the great saints. And we can appreciate the Jewish Hanukkah. We can appreciate the Muslim Eid or whatever they call it. We can appreciate all these approaches of those who are trying to awaken the love of God. We can appreciate all of it. I can say Merry Christmas to a Christian or praise Jesus, I have no problem. I can say Allah Akbar to a Muslim, I have no problem, you see. Huh?
Christians have problem.
Who?
Christians have problem.
What is that problem?
When the teacher said that Allah is the same God as
Oh God. Yeah, one Christian professor at a Christian college, Wheaton College in Illinois, she said that she accepted that Allah, the God of Christianity and the God of Islam, was the same. She got fired. They fired her. There's a big protest from the students that the God of Islam and the God of Christianity is the same God. Immediately they fired her. You see. Just see. Here's this woman who had some good realization. And she's a professor in the university. And she's passing this on to her students. And they didn't want her as their students to get contaminated. So they fired her, the administration, you see. So that we're dealing with a world where this is the academic leaders, you see. They won't let a professor teach that God is one. It's considered sacrilegious, you see. So we have a society where the so-called professors are being, even if they have a realization, they can't preach it. They can't teach it. The whole thing is being throttled by ignorance. The whole society is being throttled by bodily consciousness and ignorance. So Prabhupada's teachings are what the world needs to straighten out all this madness that's going on. You see, we have to be fully convinced of Prabhupada's teachings, and we have to dedicate ourselves to convince everybody to read these books and understand these books and try to follow these books. That's why these book distribution marathons are so very important. Everyone should take part in whatever way they can to help the marathon to go forward. Because the more the books go out, the more the world becomes saved. So maybe there's some questions now. You can pass them up. Some are already here. Okay. How can I develop my love towards the deities? I do not have any attraction. Well, do my service. And you can ask them. Treat them as persons, not as statues. You can bow down, my dear lords. You have so kindly manifested here in Melbourne. But I don't feel any attraction for you. I'm so stone-hearted and dull-headed. Please bless me that somehow I can develop love for you. You can just directly ask them. See, already now you're treating them as persons. You can ask them to help you. I want to develop love for you and I don't. Please help me. You just beg them. Beg them to help you. They will. They'll answer your prayer. How can I stop myself not to criticize others? Actually, some people think, well, you should never criticize anybody. But that's also a criticism. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean you don't criticize anyone. It means you don't wrongly criticize anyone. It's the duty of older devotees to criticize the younger devotees. To point out their faults. If it's taboo, you can't criticize anybody. It means I'm okay, you're okay, everything is cool, whatever you want to do is fine. Krishna is very critical. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form, and he calls them fools. So the real thing is you have to learn when to criticize and when not to criticize. If the guru doesn't criticize his disciples, he's their enemy. The parent doesn't criticize the children. The parents are the enemy of the child. It's like there's a story, it might be told many times, Prabhupada told. There was one boy, he was raised by his aunt, and she didn't want to ever criticize him. She let him do whatever he wanted. So he got into trouble, became a murderer. He was convicted of murder. And just before they were ready to execute him, he said, I have one last request. I'd like to whisper something to my aunt. So the aunt came and he bit off her ear. because you never criticize me, now I'm in this position. I'm being put to death for murder, you see? So I'm going to get even with you, get my revenge. You never corrected me. So it's the duty of the senior to correct and the junior. So, but we have to criticize, we have to be a good example to ourselves, and we have to only criticize when it's necessary, not unnecessarily criticize. We should also be very encouraging as well. Encourage people. This is wonderful. Catch them doing something right sometimes. Not simply what they're doing wrong. Catch them doing something right also. But criticism is a neutral thing. It can be done, it's like a surgeon's scalpel. It can be done properly or improperly. You can use it to remove cancer, or you can murder somebody with it. So criticism is a tool that can be used properly or it can be used improperly. So I wouldn't say you should never criticize anyone. I should say you have to learn how to criticize properly. That's all. Let's see. I remember many years ago, I was a young devotee. I was at the Sunday Love Feast in Gainesville, sitting beside one guest, and he said, "I am God." I said, "You're not G-O-D, you're D-O-G. So, you know, we sometimes have to straighten people out, you know. The guy thought he was God, you know. He was bragging to me at the Sunday feast that he was God. So you have to sometimes straighten people out. You say, yeah, okay. If you say, that's cool. You've done a great, if you say, well, you think you're God, well, that's cool. You're putting a knife in his heart. You're stabbing him. Sometimes you have to criticize people. You have to correct them. It's your duty. Can you please share your favorite memories of Prabhupada? Sure, sometime. I can do that sometime. You want me to do it right now? I think I have time at the end. Because it could go on, you know, it could be a very lengthy memory. And the same person, can you share a transcendental memory of Vishnu Janaswami? It's another, could go on for a long time. I'll save those at the end if we have time. We got 20 minutes. If there's time at the end, I'll go into those. We always hear to advance in Krishna consciousness. We have to take shelter of Krishna. What does it really mean to take shelter of Krishna? It means to be obedient to Krishna. Follow his instructions. And how do we know if we're really taking shelter? Well, that's why the devotees are there. That's why Guru is there and Vaishnava is there to tell you. Working with devotees means sometimes there is conflict. How to avoid conflicts? By understanding you are not a pure devotee. You do things wrong sometimes. You think wrongly sometimes. You speak wrongly sometimes. You act wrongly sometimes. Don't be puffed up thinking you're a pure devotee. If you keep that in your mind, there won't be any conflicts. If there is a conflict, then just try to hear what the other person has to say instead of thinking you're right, blindly, stubbornly thinking, no, I'm right. Maybe you're not right. Just think, well, maybe I'm wrong. Let me hear what this person has to say. How to go to God, back to Godhead quickly. The fast track back to home, back to Godhead, is to give Krishna consciousness to everyone that you meet. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. When a person in a Western body is slowly being brought to Krishna consciousness, if he or she does not accept deity worship and does not want to bow down before their lordships, how do we convince them? Well, they're really coming to Krishna consciousness. It depends on the individual. There's no, you know, really, these sort of things, it's like, what is the proper size for a business suit? It depends on the person, right? The tailor has to measure. You can't say, what is the proper size for a business suit? Yeah.
The Western bodies taught the Indians how to bow down and serve Krishna.
The Western bodies are teaching the Indians how to bow down?
They have taught.
Huh?
They have taught. how to become Krishna conscious. Remember when Prabhupada went to America and brought the white elephants to India, then they...
Yeah, Prabhupada taught the Indians. Prabhupada had to use the Americans to convince the Indians to take the Krishna consciousness in the early days of our movement. No Indians. There was only one Indian in our movement, and that was Prabhupada. He had to use the Americans to convince the Indians that it was something good they should do. So anyway, like I was saying, no such thing as one size business suit that fits all. You have to tailor fit your preaching also to the individual. One thing is, we're all bowing down to death, so why not bow down where you become deathless? How can we stay away from being judgmental? And I appreciate devotees remain humble. It's the same thing about criticism. It's not to see, to say, well, I don't want to see any faults in the devotees because I'm being judgmental, but there are certain standards, you see. Let's say a devotee comes to the temple smoking a cigarette and says, well, I don't want to be judgmental, you know. See what I'm saying? Some devotee is, eating unoffered food regularly, doesn't offer his food. I don't want to be judgmental. What is that Bible verse? How does it go? Something like, judgment is mine. Actually, this is, yes. Papa gives the example that the judge actually makes the judgment and the reporter reports it. If I say something, if I repeat something from the scriptures and people say, oh, you're being judgmental. No, I'm just being the reporter. I'm not making the judgment. Krishna's making the judgment, you see. We can't judge anything. Who are we? We have no power to judge. Krishna is the judge. Krishna says, this is the way it is. And if you report what Krishna is saying, you see, it's like you can't sue the reporter. The reporter says, so-and-so is a murderer. Can you sue him for libel? No, because he repeated what the judge said, that's all. So being judgmental means you make your own opinion separate from what Krishna says. But if you're simply repeating the teachings of Krishna, you're not being judgmental. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. If I say those who deride Krishna when he descends in the human form, am I being judgmental? No. I'm reporting what Krishna says. As long as you're not giving your own opinion, you're simply stating the opinion of Krishna and the acharyas, you're not being judgmental at all. You're just being an honest reporter of the facts. I am not perfect in my sadhana and feel very fallen. So how do I preach to somebody something I haven't perfected? For example, my chanting is not attentive, so how can I say to someone to chant properly? Well, you preach in such a way that you include yourself. That's an easy way. Say, you know, we need to chant properly, otherwise we won't get the full benefit of the name. We need to get out of this tendency for our minds to float here and there. Just include yourself. Preach in such a way you're including yourself. Even Prabhupada said, I am not perfect. But my perfection is, I repeat what I've heard from the perfect. I see there are so many services, so pleasing Guru and Vaishnava means doing all these services with sincerity, even the smallest service. How could I be pleasing them for one service but not the other? How can I improve that? Well, if some services you can do nicely, keep doing them. And the services you're not able to do nicely, try to learn how to do them nicely as well. I mean, we can't expect everybody to be expert at everything right off the bat. Some people are good at one thing, some people are good at other things according to our previous conditioning and training. So whatever you're good at, do that. Whatever you're not good at, do that. And learn how to become good at actually everything. That's what we have to do. Does pleasing Guru and Vaishnava mean yatamat tatapat, compromising the principles? No, Krishna. Yatamat tatapat means as many paths, as many opinions. I'm okay, you're okay, whatever you want to do is cool. If you say there is no God, that's cool. Say there is a God, that's cool. You say God isn't personal, that's cool. Whatever your thing is, that's cool. Oh, that's yatamat tatapat philosophy. It's all one. So pleasing Guru and Krishna is not as different. Guru and Vaishnavas say, no, this is correct and that is incorrect. They make distinction. Yatamat tatamat philosophy says it's all one. Whatever you do is fine. You know, if you're a Christian, you can eat meat. And it's fine because that's your Christian practice. No, it's not like that. Christ says, actually, Old Testament says, thou shalt not kill. So, no, serving, pleasing Guru and Vaishnava doesn't mean it's all one. It means they will distinguish this is right and this is wrong. That's what serving, that's what pleasing them means. You get trained what is right and what is wrong. 2 days ago, I felt that the only way to make others happy is by giving them love, compassion, sincerity. At the same time, I don't have that, so how does it work? Well, are you sincerely asking this question? I would ask. If they say, no, I'm not, then I'd say, then why are you asking that if you're not being sincere when you ask the question? If you are asking it sincerely, you do have sincerity. So take that same sincerity to try to help others become Krishna conscious. Book distribution is very hard for me. I can't open my mouth to speak and convince somebody to buy. Don't worry about convincing them to buy. Just convince them to look. One of our great Sankirtan heroes, Vaisheshika Prabhu, he says, the more you show, the more you'll sell. Just try to show them the book. Don't worry about selling the book. Show them the book. Well, look, I'm going to show you this book. It's amazing. Just check it out. See these pictures? This book talks about how you're not your body. You're an eternal spiritual being. There's unlimited bliss within you. You just have to learn how to tap into it. This book will show you how to do it. It's an amazing book. I go, wow, really? Are you selling it? Yeah. No, I'm not selling it. I'm giving it to you as a gift. It's asking you to give a donation to help for the printing cost. You see, you just have to show. Just show the books. Don't worry about selling them. The book will sell itself. You show it to them and describe it. As Prabhupada told me in one letter, he says that these books are described in the best descriptive manner. You can convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase them. So just try to show them the book and just glorify with the best language you can use. If you don't know, if you don't have any good language, well, Prabhupada told my god sister Mulvakriti, who was a very big successful book distributor, that here's what you say to distribute a Bhagavatam. Prabhupada told her exactly what to say. You take the Bhagavatam, you say, this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. And it has appeared after the disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Pretend this is the Bhagavatam. Those persons who have lost their vision to the dense darkness of ignorance of the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. In other words, the Bhagavatam verse. Just quote the verse to them. They hand in the book and quote on the verse. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. And it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by knowledge, religion, etc. Those persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance of the age of Kali, people like us, you see, shall get light from this Purana. You just quote the verse. Or with the Gita, right? This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. Actually, I had a Bhagavatam here. It's the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It's everlasting, and it's ecstatically performed. You see? You just quote the verse. If you don't know what to say, memorize the Gita verse and say it with feeling. You see? And people go, wow. Let me check out that book. Not everyone, but there will be those persons who will respond and be, their lives will be transformed because you took the time and trouble to follow Prabhupada's instructions. Okay. How to become a pure devotee like Prahlad? You have to become a sold out servant of the bona fide spiritual master. That's the secret. You can't do it on your own. You have to surrender yourself to the bona fide spiritual master. There's actually three things. It's like here we have a tripod. Now, for this microphone, if you take out one leg, it falls over. Two legs, it falls over. Three legs, there's nothing there for it to stand on. So three legs are required. Rupa Goswami gives the three basic legs of devotional service. This is stated in the Nectar Devotion. If you can do these three things, you can become a pure devotee. The first thing is shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Adau Garashvayam. The very first thing Rupa Goswami says, you take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. First thing you have to do if you want to become Krishna conscious. Second thing, diksha. That means you lock yourself in to an eternal sheltered position, the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master for all of eternity. You take a vow that is called diksha. When you make that commitment, the spiritual master then acts as a medium for the disciplic succession. And through the spiritual master, all of your previous sins are, or we can say 99.99% of your sins, are absorbed through the spiritual master and through the disciplic succession and neutralized ultimately by Krishna. So that diksha then gives you a very powerful purification that makes it easy, much easier to practice Krishna consciousness. And the third leg, obedience. If you take in a spiritual master, you're not obedient to him, you're not really a disciple. It's not that you can just get initiated. Like my father told me, he said, son, I can do whatever I want because I accepted Jesus. It's like, you know, no, you have to stop sinning. You have to stop, you know, you can't just say, well, I'm initiated so I can do whatever I want. Guru Maharaj will take care of my karma. I can do whatever I want. Now I can smoke cigarettes. I can go to the prostitutes because I got initiated. No. You have to obey the spiritual master. Whatever he has given you instruction, you must chant at least 16 rounds every day. You must avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. So you must strictly obey those instructions for your whole life, you see. So if you do those three things, take shelter, get initiated, and follow the, obediently follow the initiation vows, you become a pure devotee. Now within that initiation vow, Prabhupada told us to avoid the 10 offenses of the name. It's not just chanting Hare Krishna. The spiritual master also orders the disciple, you must chant these names without offense. So you have to study the 10 offenses and see how to avoid them. If you do that, you do these things, you will become a pure devotee very quickly. Guaranteed. Okay, we have a few minutes left here, about five, so we'll go ahead and deal with these the nectar questions here. Can you please share a transcendental memory of Vishnu Jana Swami? Sure. Before I came, previously I was a singer-songwriter, and there was one song I really thought was cool. It was a popular band called the Jefferson Airplane. They had a song that was like a Christian hymn. They put it on one of the record albums. It was called Good Shepherd. It was a song, it was a prayer to Lord Jesus. I thought it was really cool because I was into a spiritual consciousness, you know. So, So anyway, we went on a preaching engagement. It turns out that Vishnu Jana Swami personally knew the Jefferson Airplane. He used to jam with them before he became a devotee. He was buddies with them in Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco back in the 60s. So he actually knew the song also. So anyway, we were coming back from a preaching engagement. I was still on the periphery, you know, just checking it out. I hadn't really joined yet, but I was kind of checking out the scene. And the two of us came back from many devotees were there, but they went back by a different vehicle. The two of us, just me and Vishnu Jana Swami, were coming alone up Interstate 30 from San Marcos back to Austin with the Texas Hill Country on the western side. The sun was setting in the west, It'd been great for a movie, you know. Movie scene, the sun is setting in the west, and here I am with a sannyasi in a jeep, the two of us just going up the freeway. And we were talking, and he heard, I mentioned how I really liked that song, The Good Shepherd, and he knew the song. So we sang a duet together. If you want to, he started singing it, we sang it together going up the highway. If you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, stay out of the way of the long-tongued liar, oh, good shepherd, feed my sheep. You're begging, feed my sheep, means give me your mercy, you see. So there's actually some nice synonyms in that song. So in that way he, you know, he knew, he could see I was attached to it, and he grabbed me and pulled me in by that technique. How many preachers would sing a Jefferson Airplane song with a hippie to attract them to Krishna consciousness? Vishnu Jan Swami was very expert. Is the rule book allow me to do this? It wasn't like that. He was like connected with the super soul. How can I convince this hippie guy here who likes the Jefferson Airplane to become Krishna conscious? In this way, you see. He was a very dynamic preacher. Huh?
Feed my sheep, does it mean the soul? Or just me and the body?
Feed my sheep? See, Jesus is compared to a shepherd, and we're like the sheep. That's a simile given about Lord Jesus. He's called the Good Shepherd. And there's stories of him, you know, saving a poor sheep. And now that song is a simile, and we are the sheep. And we're hoping the Good Shepherd will feed us. You see? Get us out of Maya and get us back to the spiritual world. No, the soul, Dave. The whole soul. Yeah. Not just give us something to eat, no. Spiritually feed. Yeah. Now, can you please share a favorite memory of Prabhupada? I've done this already, but, you know, and some of you may not have heard it, so I'll tell. This is my very favorite memory of Prabhupada. Now, Prabhupada had an amazing ability to make every devotee in the whole movement feel that they had a personal relationship with him, which they in fact did. Prabhupada didn't, that wasn't like he only dealt with the leaders and everybody else is just, you know, the peons. It wasn't like that. Every devotee was special. Prabhupada could make every devotee feel they're the most special devotee in the movement. It was amazing how he could do that. So, I had this personal experience. I wasn't initiated yet. I decided to become a devotee. I'd already accepted Prabhupada within my heart as my guru. I decided to become initiated. You know, I was shaved up brahmachari now. I was visiting. Devotees came from Texas. We drove over to California to attend the Radhayatra in Frisco, and now Prabhupada's spending a whole week in Los Angeles initiating like 100 devotees. It was a big thing. He would chant. In those days, he would chant in the ceremony, he would chant around on every, if there's 16 devotees, he would chant 16 rounds in the yajna. So he had to do it in a series of yajnas because he took too long to chant all the rounds. Like three days of yajnas because he would chant each, he'd say in the yajna, he would chant around the beat. So it was a very, very intense and ecstatic time to be there with Prabhupada. So anyway, he would go on the morning walk. They would drive into a place like Cheviot Hills Park or to Venice Beach where he would take his walk. Then they would drive Prabhupada back to the temple and he would get out of the car in front of the temple and walk down the sidewalk back to his quarters. If you go to L.A., the door to his quarters is down the alley up in the back. You had to go around the side of the building and up the back and the door on the side near the back. So they would have a very nice system that we'd all line up down the sidewalk and every devotee have a flower. And Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers. And you would give Prabhupada a flower and he would give you a flower. You have your own, just you had your own one-on-one, just you and Prabhupada. The whole universe can just wait and stop. Now it's just you having your one-on-one with Prabhupada. Every devotee got to have their little one-on-one with Prabhupada. It was really, really something special. Prabhupada's looking at you, you're looking at him, and you're trading flowers with Prabhupada. Wow! Every devotee got to have that. You can imagine how enlivening that was. So we lined up, and Vishnujan was the first in the line. He got a hug. He got a big embrace from Prabhupada. He got out of the car and he embraced Vishnujan's mommy. And I felt really good because I was one of Vishnujan's men. So when I felt I was getting hugged too when Vishnujan got hugged. And so anyway, I was about the second or third in the line and right near Vishnujan's mommy. And so I got my flower. I gave Prabhupada, you know, I gave one to him, he gave one to me. So now I have my flower and Prabhupada's going on down the line, you know, one after another after another. So then I described that having Prabhupada's darshan is a very mystical thing, actually, to actually see him standing there. He's not, he's from the spiritual world. He's living in the spiritual world. Even while he was here, he could see Krishna. He could talk with Krishna, even while he was here. He's just like the great saints we read in the scriptures. Prabhupada was on that level, like Narada Muni, where he can directly see Krishna and talk with him at every minute, you see. So I describe it like this. You drink Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. That's the best way I can describe it poetically, you see. So taking his darshan is like drinking him into your heart through your eyes. So I wanted to have another darshan. I'm going to do a little more drinking there, you see. Eye drinking. As Prabhupada has finished the row of devotees, he's getting ready to come around the corner, going back to his quarters in the back. I station myself on the steps for a really good view as he comes by. Like a couple of steps up, I'm just looking at Prabhupada as he comes by. So Prabhupada looks up at me. Well, here's one that's not in the line. Of course, I've been in the line. But I'm not in line now. I've stepped out of the line to get my drink, have a nice drink of Prabhupada's transcendental form through my eyes. So there I am, drinking him in to my eyes, to my heart, and Prabhupada notices me. He looks up at me and wonders, I wonder if he's got a flower or not yet. There was no word spoken, it was all body language and facial expression. He holds up a flower and he's like, you got one yet? And I held up my flower and nodded. Big smile, you know. So Papa noticed me, he's blessing me. Oh, it's like I nodded, it was great ecstasy in my heart. I showed him my flower, you know. And that was it. So I can never forget that. And I go to Los Angeles, I told devotees, here's where I was, here's where I was standing. If you ever come to meet a lot with if you ever with me in Los Angeles, I'll show you exactly where I was standing on the steps when Prabhupada walked by and looked up at me and see if I had the flower or not yet. So that's every devotee, you know, Prabhupada, see, he took every devotee as the most dear disciple, actually. Every devotee. He took every devotee. And when you get a letter in the mail from Prabhupada, it would be, you know, His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's how it was addressed. Not just Sankarshan Das. His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's how the letter came from Prabhupada to you. Just see how much respect, you see, our Her Grace Srimati, you know.
Huh? Was it only HG acronym?
Come again?
Was it HG acronym or full word?
Acronym? There's no acronyms. It was full words. It wasn't like HDG. Prabhupada didn't acronymize it. His grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's how you get letters from him.
But I did Pamho.
Huh? There was no Pamho. When I first heard about Pamho, what is this Pamho? What is it? Never heard of it. Something with Pamho. Actually, when I write emails to people now, it's always, please accept my... To my disciples, please accept my blessings. To others, please accept my obeisances. I don't do this Pamho thing. It reminds me of spam, you know. Spam ho, spam ho. So.
AGTSP.
AGTSP. TSP. All glories of Srila Prabhupada. It's ridiculous. No, his all glories to his divine grace. The more you can see how Prabhupada, you know, how we should follow the style of Prabhupada, this abbreviated, you know, this, you know. Actually, the devotee I first heard Pamho from, he ended up leaving the movement and becoming a Sikh. But by Krishna's grace, he's come back. I was just in Vrindavan, and he was there every morning at Mangalarti at the Samadhi. I was so happy, because he was a senior godbrother years ago. He's the first one who told me about Pamho. But I was so happy to see he's come back. So happy. Oh, he's come back. It's so nice to see him. So yeah, we have to... don't try to shortcut the Vaishnava culture, abbreviate it. Dive into the full, unabbreviated version of Vaishnava culture and you will taste the sweet nectar. Guaranteed.
And the name is given by spiritual master. When we break it or say part of it or give the acronyms of the name, then what?
I don't follow.
Just like the name, sometimes the devotees call, which is part of the name they will call.
My godbrother Bhagavat told me that in Nairobi, Prabhupada didn't like that they were turning everyone's name into a nickname. Prabhupada corrected the devotees for doing that, you know. Just like when this is not even a godbrother, this is a god nephew. He was my temple president. He called me Shank, which is a cut of meat, actually. I told him, you know, that's not right. Hey, Shank. It's ridiculous, you know. This tendency to, you know, to cut everybody's neck. So I try to give short names to my disciples for this purpose, to avoid them being, you know, having everyone use nicknames.
Because they
don't
know.
I asked my GBC about it one time. He said you should tell them. I asked my GBC this question. He stuck to me this. Tell them, Prabhupada has given me this name, Sankarshan Das, so you should call me the name that Prabhupada gave me. That's what he told me I should tell them. My GBC told me I should tell devotees when they do that nickname thing, and I could tell them. My Prabhupada has given me this name, and that's what you call me. So there's some announcement. So we'll stop here, and my disciples have an announcement now. We thank you all very much. The announcement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, everyone. We have two new books by Sri Srimad Shankarasindas Trikari. This has been released in India, in Vrindavan, during this recent Vyasa Puja. We have only few copies available here in Melbourne. So this one, the title is Stop Worrying, Start Living. He gave a very nice discourse or seminar in Vrindavan a few years ago. So this book is compiled based on these teachings. It is wonderfully written down. And again, this book, Uttama Bhakti, is also on devotional practices.
Uttama Bhakti is pure devotional service.
Pure devotional service. This is about $10, and this is about $7. So, Stop Worrying, Start Living, we have 10 copies, only 10 copies available here.
Yeah.
If they get it now,
I can sign it.
Yes.
If someone is getting now, Gurudev can sign right now. Yes. So, okay, let me write down.
What about the torch?
I'm happy that you liked it.
Oh, this is yours.
Yeah, the Kathmandu.
You got this for me.
Yeah.
I like it, but there's one thing I don't like about it, and there's the three settings. See?
Oh.
I had to click on and off. That's one. Although I like it, it's much brighter than what I had before. I like it because it uses three AAA batteries. But I don't like that blinking. It'd be great if we were stuck somewhere on the side of the road and the warning light. But it's not better for a class like to click through. Other than that, I like it a lot. It's very bright. I like it. The other one I had, it would fade on after a little while, it'd get very faint. But this thing uses three batteries, it's more powerful. I like the power of it. I just wish it didn't have that feature. There's three settings. I don't like that setting. I think they click, click, click. Other than that, it's great. I got rid of my other one when I just came back.
Where's the other one?
It's gone. I gave it away as Bishad into somebody. So this is my lamp right now. What is your name?
Gagan. Gagan.
How do you spell?
G-A-G-A-N.
G-A-G-A. Gagan. Okay.
Thank you.
are already signed. Is this someone you know?
Ed Smart.
Oh, this is for you. Then who's it these for?
That's for Brahmacharis.
They just need a signature, really.
Oh,
me? One copy for that.
This is for him.
Yeah.
This is just signatures only?
Just signature only.
Oh, okay. Name, Prabhu? This is Ballagoda. Next.
Brijesh Mishra.
Brijesh. Oh, wow. What a cool name. The Lord of Braj. Thank you. Sinapan. Shodapriya.
Yes,
okay. Used to be easy, now I sometimes have when I get more 200 disciples, sometimes I have to make sure I have the right name. Used to have, now I have to double check sometimes. Yeah. Someone's pen is this. Is this your pen? Okay, someone gets a garland now. Who gets the garland? Someone else?